of that song. Let's open our Bibles, if you would please, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We're studying transforming truths, and these have been great lessons for me. It's been a blessing to my heart. Some of these are verses that you've learned long ago, but some of you may be learning them in depth for the first time. But we've learned Romans 12, 1 and 2, Philippians 4, 13, Galatians 2, 20, 1 Corinthians 10, 13, 1 John 1, 9. And tonight we come to lesson number 7, All Things for Your Good, Romans 8, verses 28 and 29. I apologize for not having the outline for you to fill in, but if you got your bulletin from the other day or something, you might want to write down some notes tonight. But Romans 8, verse 28, if you're able, let's stand together to honor God's word tonight. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Our Heavenly Father, please bless Your Word tonight. Please help as we study Your Word that we can learn these truths that will help us, that will transform us and change us. Lord, I pray tonight we would learn things that would help us to be conformed to the image of Your dear Son. And Lord, just please bless each one that's here tonight. If anyone needs to make a decision for You, Lord, if they've never been saved, that they'd be saved tonight. If they've been saved but never been scripturally baptized, they might make that decision tonight. Or whatever it is, Father, I pray Your Holy Spirit would convict us, that Your will would be done, and that You'd help me from nothing without You. And I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. The verses we're looking at tonight are all about how all things can be for our good. And the thing we want to notice first of all is this truth, this verse, this promise is for God's people. This promise that God gives is not a promise for the unsaved. This promise is not for the unsaved. The unsaved can't have confidence that everything's going to work out for good. Because if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, things are most assuredly not going to work out for your good in the end. We know that only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will have eternal life. And so if your name is not written there, you can't claim this promise. Unsaved people need to be given a clear presentation of the gospel, and they don't need to be given false assurance that everything's going to be all right. We want to warn them and give them the truth. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23, the Bible says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me at that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And not everybody is going to be able to stand before God and be known by God. He's going to judge everybody, and this promise is just for those who are saved. It's not for the unsaved, it's for the saved. Now, you look at our text, Romans 8, 28. Get you guys to help me out a little bit. We know that all things work together for good to them that what? Love God. Who loves God? Saved people? How many of you would like to say, I do? I love God. Now, what did Jesus say? He said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. So, is it fair to take verses like that and turn them around? Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. So if I don't keep His commandments, what does it mean? Don't really love Him. You see, God's called us to this thing, and deep down in our hearts, if you're saved, you love God. Is that true? Yeah, because He's changed us. He's put His Spirit within us. I mean, He's inside of us. He's given us new life, and deep down in our hearts, we do love Him. But sometimes we fail to live that out. So He says, them that love God, and then He says, them who are the called according to His purpose. Well, who's called according to the purpose of God. Yeah, everybody that's saved. That's not just a select group of saved people. Everybody that's saved is called according to the purpose of God. So I believe that although we need to let it sink in that if we really love Jesus, we're going to keep his commandments. The fact is that if you're saved, you ought to love him. And if you're saved, you are called according to his purpose. And it's not just a special calling on a missionary or a pastor or something like that. It's every believer is called to the purpose of God. And we'll talk about that purpose in a little while, but he defines it for us. In this passage, there's a word introduced for us, and we need to look at what the Bible says. You see, the Bible's the best commentary on the Bible. If you want to know what the Bible means, it's better to look at what the Bible has to say about something than to look at what a bunch of men have to say about it. Commentaries have their place, don't get me wrong, and they can be very helpful in helping us understand things, but ultimately the Bible is the best commentary on the Bible. Okay, the word that we find here is predestinate. And this predestination is not about God only choosing a select few that can be saved. It's about the simple fact that God knows who is going to be saved and who isn't. Do you see it there? Romans 8, 28 and verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So God foreknew. God knew that you were going to trust him. God knew that you would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? God knows who's not going to trust him. He knows that. But those who God knew would be saved, he has predestinated them that they would be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Your purpose, you've been called according to his purpose. Your purpose is to be like Jesus. Everybody get that? There's a lot of things that we ought to want to be. I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good father. I want to be a good pastor. I want to be, for the most part, I want to be a good citizen. For the most part. The nation's going in a direction now that it might not be too long before I don't want to be a good citizen anymore. But all of those things are not really the core purpose for my life. The core purpose for my life is to be like Jesus. Knowing the decisions you'll make, God in his sovereign plans, he allows every event that comes into your life according to your perfect will. To his perfect will. Now think about this. When you're saved, God has a purpose. He has a plan for your life. And we've talked about this so many times before, but God allows everything that comes into your life. Everything is Father filtered. If it came into your life, God allowed it. Everybody understand that, right? The good, the bad, and the ugly. If it's happening in your life, God knew it was coming. He allowed it to come. If he didn't want it to come, he would have stopped it. But all of those things that make up our life, all of those events, they impact us, they change us, the good things, the bad things, the trials, the tribulations, the blessings, all of it works together to make us who we are. All of it works together to bring about who God wants us to be. Now, somebody help me out tonight. What is your favorite dessert in the world? This is taking a little too long. I figured you guys would be right on that. What? Chocolate cake, chocolate pie, chocolate. Okay. Got it. Anybody else? Pecan pie? Okay. All right. So everybody, you got it? Cherry cheesecake. Praise the Lord. It doesn't even have to be all that fancy to me. How about some Krispy Kreme donuts? It's all good to me. I like sweet stuff. And listen, I'll just go ahead and tell you, you can talk about how bad all those preservatives are for you. They put in Little Debbies, but I think those are what make them so magical. Amen. I think all those preservatives that are, slowly killing me, I think that's what makes me keep coming back. But anyway, but you just take anything you want to. I like to make cinnamon rolls, especially in the wintertime, man. Roll out that dough and, do it upright. I like doing that. Yeah, yeah. I made up a batch one time to take to church, and we were over in Salisov. So proud. I made two Pyrex dishes full because I'd been talking about them, and they're like, yeah, you need to prove it. So I proved it. I had them, and I was walking in the church, and the top one slid off. And you'd be amazed what Pyrex does when it hits the floor. It's crazy. It's like a shotgun. It was bad. But we saved one batch. So, but you take those, or anything you bake, I mean, flour, right? Eggs, a little bit of salt. What else? Baking powder. All that kind of stuff. Sugar and a little more sugar. Vanilla and the real stuff, not that imitation junk, right? And the real stuff. So you take all that stuff. I'm telling you, you take any one of those ingredients by itself and eat a handful of it. I mean, anybody want to take a handful of flour and just have that for breakfast? And you can say sugar if you want to, but I'm telling you, when I was a kid, I used to eat it by the handfuls, and it wasn't really all that good when you get a whole handful of it. You take any of those things by themselves and they're not that good, but when you put them together and you mix it properly and you put it in the oven and you put it through the heat and all that stuff it goes through, when it comes out, it becomes something wonderful and delicious. And how many of you are hungry right now? Amen. Yeah. Listen, that's the way it is with us. You got some of the sweet stuff, you got some of the sour stuff, you got some of the bitter stuff, you got some of the just base stuff like the flour. You had all these different ingredients, and that's all the things that God allows to come into our lives. And any one thing by itself may not be very good, may not taste good, especially at the time, but God works it all together. He works it all together to make something good. And that's something that only God can do. Let's talk about His promise. It's for His people, but what is it, His promise? If we love Him, and we have been called according to His purpose to be conformed to Jesus Christ, then we can claim the promise of this verse. Now, like every other promise in Scripture, you can have confidence and believe the promises of God. It's important you say that, obviously, Brother Isaac, we know that we can believe God's promises, but I think that we get so used to dealing with people, sometimes we forget the character of God. People will lie to you. People will lie to you intentionally, and people will lie to you accidentally. People make you promises with good intentions, and things are out of their control, but nothing is out of God's control. Titus 1:2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. God cannot lie. This promise has a certainty of its outcome. Did you notice what the Bible said? And we know. I like verses like that. 1 John 5:13 says that you can know that you have eternal life. Romans 8:28 says, and we know. It's a certainty. It's a promise. 1 Kings 8:56 says, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto His people Israel, according to all that He promised. There hath not failed one word of all His good promise, which He promised by the hand of Moses His servant. And He kept His promises thousands of years ago, and He keeps His promises today. And by the way, on a little side note, all the promises He made to Israel, He's going to keep every one of those too. No matter what Russia or China got in mind right now, God's going to take care of Israel. So there's a certainty in its outcome. There's a change in its curriculum. Now, you might go through different types of trials. You might go through financial. You might go through relational, physical, emotional. I mean, every kind of imagination you've got tonight to think about problems you can go to. But you can rest assured that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now, this verse doesn't say that all things are good, but all things work together for good. And I just wonder, has anybody ever looked back on a situation that was so horrible, but when you look back, you can see how God worked it out for good? Amen. Yeah, think about that for a minute. Because when you're in the middle of the trial, you don't see that. You don't see how it could ever work out. But God can do that. Only God can do that. Conformity is its goal. The goal is not merely to change the things that we do. The goal is to conform us to the image of His Son. Man had a dream one night. he had a vision from the Lord, and the Lord said, tomorrow outside of your door, there will be a stone. Push it. The man didn't really understand it. He was confused by it, but when he got up in the morning and went out the door, sure enough, right outside the front door, there was a huge stone, a boulder. It was massive. And so he did what the Lord said. He began to push it. He pushed as hard as he could, and he couldn't budge it. But he wanted to be faithful to what God said. So he pushed it for the rest of the day. He pushed that boulder as hard as he could. It wouldn't move even a centimeter. The next day it was still there, and he tried again to move it, and again he couldn't get anywhere with it. And it went on for days that he would go out and he would push it, just like God said, and he would push it, and it went from days, went on to weeks, and weeks went on to months, and for months this man every day would go out and push on that boulder, on that stone as hard as he could. But finally one day he got sick of it. He opened his door, it was still there, and he slammed the door and he just screamed at God and said, God, I quit. You asked me to push the boulder, so I tried. It didn't move, so I tried again and again and again and again. For months, I've tried to push it. I've tried to move it, but nothing will happen. Why did you tell me to move it, God? And the answer came. He said, go look in the mirror. The man went and looked in the mirror, and he was surprised to see that all those months of pushing the stone had caused him to build huge muscles. He becomes stronger and stronger, and God said, I never told you to move the rock. I only told you to push it. My goal wasn't for you to move it. My goal was to make you stronger. I don't know why God lets things come in our lives. I don't know the particulars. And I know when you're in the middle of a trial or a tribulation, it is hard to understand. And your faith may waver and you may begin to even question God. But I'm here to tell you tonight that God always has your good as his goal. And your good is because when you go through the trial, he's going to use it to make you more like Jesus. When things are easy, we don't get more like Jesus. You ever get that? No, it's the trials that make us more like Jesus. His purpose. Whatever God allows you to go through, you can rest assured he has a purpose for it. You may not understand it. I may not understand it. But God knows. And Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 reminds us, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Sometimes the Bible has something I like to call huge understatements. God's thoughts are not my thoughts. It's a good thing he put it there, though, because I might not have got it. No, his thoughts are infinitely higher than ours, and he's under control. God can use the circumstances of our life, whatever goes on in our life, as a filter. And when we are committed to God's purpose for our lives, all of our plans, dreams, and aspirations go through the filter of his purpose. And that affects every decision we make. And when we're making our decisions through the filter of God's purpose, we'll be committed to doing his perfect will. Now, one of the things that my brother-in-law, Steve, we like to joke about is the fact that everything happens for a reason. We get tickled with that because people talk about it all the time. Everything happens for a reason. I talk to somebody who gets put in jail. They say, well, everything happens for a reason. I'm like, well, yeah, you broke the law. That's the reason. Amen. You know, when we're not as healthy as we should be because we talk about cake too much, and then we eat cake and we go, man, I just don't understand. Well, everything happens for a reason. Well, there's a reason. It's kind of a silly thing when you look at it that way, but that's the reality. We've got to look at the fact that everything that's happening in our lives has a reason. It has a purpose. God's allowed it to happen, but sometimes things happen in our lives because God wants us to straighten up. whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. So sometimes trials come because we've sinned against the Lord and he wants to get us right. And that's for our good, right? When I spank my children, it's ultimately for their good. Now, they might not get it at the time, but ultimately that's the purpose. I'm trying to teach them, trying to train them in the right way. And so God does the same thing with us. Sometimes nothing, we haven't done anything wrong at all. Reading this morning at home with Josiah about Job. Job went through a horrible trial. And his friends came. And they were such good friends that they sat for 7 days and didn't say anything. But then when they finally started talking, they really weren't all that encouraging to Brother Job. They said, listen, we know how the world works. When you sin, bad things happen. When you live right, good things happen. Bad things have happened to you, Job, like we've never seen before, so you need to just go ahead and fess up now. And that's basically the way the rest of the book goes. They made accusations. He must have done something wrong, and he defended himself. I haven't done anything wrong. Sometimes trials come in our lives, and it's not because of sin. Sometimes it's just because of that. God wants to prove our faith. So what do? We got to have the right focus. When we live with Romans 8, 28, and 29, in this purpose of conforming us to the image of Christ in mind, that becomes our focus. That must be our focus. I want to live today so that I become more like Jesus. That's the way we need to live each day. But it takes faith. Without faith, Hebrews 11, 6, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. We have to have faith. Jeremiah 29, 11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Many people I've talked to over the years who don't want to get saved have had a bad experience in their past, and they are angry at God. Maybe you've been angry at God before. Maybe you've been in a situation or something's happened in your life that you said, God, why would you let this happen? And it wasn't just a question. Maybe you really were angry that God allowed that to happen. Well, we need to remember tonight that God is God and we're not. And we need to remember after that, that God thinks about us. I'm not just people in general. He thinks about you individually. God. Is that not amazing to you? I'm always shocked when I find out somebody's been talking about me behind my back, because I always figure people got better things to talk about than me. Anybody else shocked by that sometimes? Like, really? There's a lot of other people more interesting than I am. I'm always amazed when somebody would think about me. But how incredible that God thinks about us. And when he thinks about us, he thinks good thoughts. Not of evil, because he wants to give us an expected end. And what's that expected end? Listen, one day we are going to be just like Jesus. He's going to give us a glorified body. He's going to change us. There's not going to be any more sin or sickness or sorrow or death. And that's the expected end. And we ought to be moving closer and closer to that every day. Amen. Have you ever wondered if God knew what was going on in your life? You ever felt like that? Does he even realize what I'm going through? Guess what? He does. He knows it all. When I think about this verse, or these verses, I can't help but think about Joseph. Joseph, faithful son, loyal servant. And how is he rewarded? His brothers are going to murder him. But opportunity comes along, and rather than just murder him, they sell him. Because if we're going to get rid of him, might as well make a little. Right? Huh? Yeah, oh, okay. I'm going to pray for you. If I was sitting by you, I'd move. So there he is, sold into slavery. But he remains faithful to God. God blesses him, raises him up in Potiphar's house, only to have Mrs. Potiphar come after him every day. And when he continually refuses her, she falsely accuses him. And where does he end up? In jail. Well, in jail, God blesses him. He stays faithful. And God raises him up in that place. Finally, he gets a way out when the butler and the baker come in. But, you know, he's forgot about there as well. The butler gets back. He said, now remember me. I'm telling you, you're going to get set free. You're going to be back there with Pharaoh again. Well, when you get back with Pharaoh, don't forget about me. But he did forget about him. And so he stayed in prison. Until one day, finally, the butler wakes up and says, oh, I know a fellow that can help you out, Pharaoh. He goes through all the things that he goes through. And we know the story, how finally his brothers come back and he hides himself from them and goes through all of the stuff with hiding their money back in their sacks and everything. When it all comes back down to it, they come before him, he reveals himself, they're scared to death because he has the power to go, and they're dead. And if it was one of you guys and your brothers had sold you into slavery, I'd be worried about your brothers. But not Joseph. Because he said, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. And he didn't just to bring it to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Listen, you thought it was going to be evil. You were working this whole time to get rid of me, and all the while God was working through everything that went wrong for me to bring me to where I am today because it was good. And it wasn't just good for me, it was good for everybody. And we need to remember tonight, no matter what happens in our life, God is working it out for our good. Love him. Remember that you've been called according to his purpose. And live for him faithfully each day so that he can work in your life to bring about good. I want to encourage you to do something. Maybe you want to write it down. Maybe you just want to think about it. But think about the challenging situations you're facing right now. Maybe you've got a burden. Maybe you're going through a trial with your health. Maybe you're going through a hard time with your family. Maybe you're just having a hard time under the weight of the responsibilities you have day to day. Whatever it is, think about those things. Maybe even just write a few of them down. And at the bottom of that piece of paper, if you do write them down, I want you to write this down. These are to conform me to the image of Christ. Whatever's happening in our lives, God wants to use it to make us more like him. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. We're going to get ready for an invitation tonight. Would you stand with me, please? I know this is more of a lesson, but we want to give everybody an opportunity to respond to the Word of God. Might be somebody in here that's never been saved, need to be saved. Maybe you've been saved, but you need to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism. Take that step of obedience to Christ. Maybe you need to repent, rededicate your life, or maybe you're going through a trial right now. You're having a hard time with it, and you just want to come to the Lord and say, Lord, help me through this trial. Please work it out for good. Would you come tonight while we sing? Number 540. Holy Spirit's convicting. He's calling. You got a burden you need to bring to the Lord tonight.